He says that this Southern Baptist would give to the point of sacrificial giving. Not so much that it altered your lifestyle, not so much that it was a true, genuine sacrifice, but a Southern Baptist would give up to the point of sacrificial giving. We would have all the money we ever need to send every single missionary across the world. Because we become so selfish with it. We become so stingy with it. In fact, dollar for dollar, Americans gave more during the Great Depression than they did today. This is the same, I steal fairly from Dr. Carmel. They understood something very clearly that we don't get. They understood the fact that you can give yourself out of poverty. Oh, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not. I can't. I got to readjust some things. I got to change some things. You don't have that ability to wait. We think all the time, you know, I will start to give when this starts to happen. Let's just assume for a moment that I'm a professional bank robber. I'd be a very poor one, but let's assume. Let's assume I give my life to Christ. And so I'd say, you know what? This is my livelihood. This is my source of income. So I know that it takes me to robbing 5 banks a week to stay afloat. But I'm a Christian, and so I want my life to change, so I'm going to cut it back down to 3. But we do that with God's money all the time, don't we? I know this is wrong. I know this is right. But I will wait until I get to a situation. John chapter 7, verse 17 is the only place that I know of in all Scripture that says, here's the will, here's how you know the will of God. If you do what you know to be true, God says, you do it, I promise to show up and reveal it. I'll give you the next step. The Word of God is a lamp and a light unto my feet. How are we supposed to take any step further if we don't trust in what we see right before us? So with that, let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Malachi chapter 3, starting verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Thank you, Jesus, for that truth. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes, your offerings, your contributions? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will be destroyed, so it will not destroy the fruit of your soil, and your vine and your field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of the light, says the Lord. Thank you, Nancy. Look at verse 6. If you believe in writing, highlighted in your Bible, circle, the Lord says, I do not change. That's a truth that you should hold on to for all eternity. This is the fancy seminary word, immutable. Meaning God is unable to change. What that means is he has no concept, no ability to be other than who he is. He is completely, purely simple. He has no potential to grow or shrink. He has no passion for he should be swayed by man. And he likes this more than he likes this. He has nothing about him that could ever change. This goes right in line with his ability to have all knowledge, all power. This has all presence written all over. Because there is no room for change in who God is. Like that of Israel. They did nothing. Well, I'll take that back. They whined and complained. decided and desired to destroy his ministry. They asked him about the first and most important commandment to try to trick him. They asked him about whether he should be working on the Sabbath or not. They asked him all these questions to try to destroy his ministry. Have you ever seen one single question about him not trying? Not giving. Way over and above and beyond anything that anyone has ever required that was so Thank you. so many things legalistic. It's a duty based. We live in the New Testament. We want to give freely of our own accord. Imagine a boy. He's about 17, 18 years old. He's an only child. His father has a great friend that he hasn't seen in 20 years. And that friend is coming in town, and his friend has an only daughter. And so the father to his son says, "Listen, son, a buddy's coming in. I haven't seen him in 20 years. His wife, your mom and I, we want to take him out to dinner and just visit and talk with him. So I need you to take his daughter out on the date." He says, "Oh, Dad, really? I mean, I know you're a friend. You're ugly, so they're going to be ugly. They're going to have ugly kids. It's just not going to be a good deal, Dad. Dad, I don't want to." Dad says, "Let's not give you money to do it. I'll bribe you. I'll bless you." And then son, very reluctantly, says, "Sure, I'll do it. Dad, you owe me. Dad, you owe me big. I mean, this is big, big. You owe me." And finally, they arrive. The guests come into the door. And when the son sees the daughter, his mouth is on the floor. Now, he takes her out. Not only is she stunning and beautiful, but also she's very intellectual and smart and funny and witty. And he has the time of his life. The friend stays for a week, and after the second day, the son is no longer reluctantly, but he's begging his dad, "Can I take her out on the date?" See, what started out as a duty, you must turn into a complete joy. This is where the Israelites were. What started out as, "Here's the floor I'm giving. You be faithful in this, I will give you so much more." And we look at giving something new. As a representation of whose you are. And that's your question. To whom do you belong? To whom do you belong? Do you belong to your job? Do you belong to your bank account? Because sometimes you're giving you things. Or do you belong? So often we look at the Old Testament, say, Jesus came in Matthew chapter 5 and said, "He came to do away with the law. He didn't come to do away with it. He actually came to satisfy it and fulfill it." So as a Christian on this side of the covenant, we don't have to do any of that Old Testament law. You're right. Jesus did away with all ceremonial law. Some of the ceremonial law said, "You can have no shellfish, no lobster, no shrimp, no crab legs." I don't know if I can be a Christian. They said you can have no pork. Take pork chops wrapped in bacon. No way. Says you can't cut your hair. You can't do this. You can't do that. No, I'm not advocating you should eat pork. It is very unhealthy. It's extremely tasty, but unhealthy. I'm not saying any of that. But look what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 5. He said, I'm going to accomplish all those laws, all those ceremonial laws, because that is what made the Israelites stand out and look different. Now you have the Holy Spirit, the power of God. You are the salt and light. And he takes the moral laws of the Old Testament and he expounds upon them. You've heard it said, "You shall not commit murder." But I say, if you have hatred for your brother, you've heard it said, speaking of the Old Testament moral law, says, whose image is on? It says, what seat? Well, the Jews had their own currency. They had no graven images on them at all. And so when he pulled out that coin that had Caesar's image on it, and Jesus called him out, and he said it out loud, all the crowd knew he was taking bribes from the Roman government. He was a horrible person. And he said, Caesar's image is on there. What did Jesus say? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Why do we give Caesar what is Caesar? Because his image was on the coin. And then he said, render to God what is God. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us create man in our own image. Whose image is this? God. Render to God all that is God. Not some, not just a percent or two, but render all that is God to God. This is in Acts chapter 4. This is the example of the New Testament. This is those after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the Old Testament is done away with. He says, now the full number of those who believe were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things belonged to him was his own, but that had everything in common. 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was upon them all Christians. There was not a needy person among them. Many as were owners of land or household, listen, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had needed. Thus Joseph was also called by the apostle Barnabas, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, said that sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The New Testament believers said, you know what? This Jesus thing nothing.